Welcome back to another episode of the Maroon Weekly. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Greg,
Tiffany.
Tiffany's new to the section, and today we'd love to start with her for a story on a recently ratified contract.
Yeah, so the Skilled Trades Workers Union at the university, called Service Employees International Union, or SEIU Local 73, ratified a new contract with the university on March 12th. The contract will give SEIU Local 73's members, which number approximately 150 facility services employees, a 13.25% wage increase over the next 4 years, prescription safety glasses for workers, a paid holiday on Juneteenth, and the option to forego a 30-minute lunch break and instead work an uninterrupted 8-hour shift if so desired. The contract didn't include funding for current employees to undergo worker training, which the union had originally wanted, but dialogue will continue between the university and the union on the issue. The contract also didn't address all of the union's long-term concerns about staffing and worker retention. Joe Pruem, president of SEIU Local 73's UChicago unit, had previously told the Maroon that an uncompetitive level of pay made finding good, qualified new employees difficult. Despite these concessions, bargaining committee member and union steward at the Booth School, Tom Wright, said that the union was the best one he had seen in 18 years working at the university and that it was a step in the right direction. SEIU Local 73 is one of multiple unions in the past few weeks that have ratified new contracts at the university, with the others being National Nurses Organizing Committee, which represents nurses at UC Med, and Graduate Students United Electrical, which represents graduate students. Other unions are still engaged in negotiations with the university, including facility services workers at UC Med, as well as Faculty Forward, which represents non-tenure track faculty.
I'm glad they managed to get a contract and resolve the issues there. Yeah, how do you feel about the concessions they've won from the university on this issue, Tiffany?
Staffing concerns and retention concerns were one of the biggest things they wanted out of this contract, and I think, it's sort of unfortunate that they weren't able to reach an agreement on that. But I do think a lot of that comes from the wage level that they had before, and, Joe Pruem was talking about how the lower wages made it harder to attract workers in the first place. So I think, getting that wage increase, which is quite substantial, I think it's a big step.
Sure. In related news, one of those other contracts that Tiffany mentioned where an agreement was reached was with the Graduate Students United. On our last episode, we talked about how they'd reached a tentative collective bargaining agreement with the university, and not long after that, GSU did vote to ratify that agreement, with 97% of voters supporting the contract. This new contract guarantees PhD students a minimum stipend of $41,000 per year as of July 1st, and $45,000 as of October 1st, with that minimum increasing by 3% annually. There's also a new higher minimum wage of $19 per hour for graduate positions that are paid by the hour, with increases built into that as well. As mentioned in our last episode, union negotiators did not manage to get language into this agreement that protected graduate students from discrimination based on political affiliation or caste. This newly ratified contract is tentatively set to be effective until March 2027. This report is based on an article written by Gabriel Kramer for the Chicago Maroon and can be found on the Maroon's website.
Yeah, I know we've mentioned the discrimination clause before. I don't think we've actually discussed it much. So you said it included what defenses against or protections against
political affiliation and caste, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
And that is not something that managed to make it into the final contract. It was a major crux of the negotiations, but the university held strong on that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. And I'm curious how this contract compares to other universities. Do you have a sense of that? I mean, it's like $41,000 as a stipend.
I mean, it's lower than some of our peer universities, but cost of living is relatively lower here than a lot of other places.
Yeah.
I don't have a full sense of how it would compare, but it's a major improvement on what they had before.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I just remember hearing about this a lot. And I also thought back to Ram and Isaac. I know we've talked about this before, but I think during when they were here, Ram and Isaac, if you didn't know, listeners, they were former chief editors for podcasts. They talked about how when they were in, I forget what year they were, but basically the graduate students went on strike, and that affected, you know, tons of stuff, because graduate students do...
Graduate students do so much for us.
Yes. Yeah. So...
Yeah, a friend of mine is at the University of Michigan, where graduate students did go on strike fairly recently, and he was sort of negatively polarized against unions as a result of that, because so much of his classes, like, things just came to a halt. Like, problem sets were not being graded, things did not function without the graduate students. So selfishly, I'm very much glad an agreement was reached. Mm. I think we would all suffer here, with the exception of graduate students, if they were to, you know, gain significant concessions. But I'm glad the contract they got was satisfactory. In other news, on Sunday, March 31st, some students had trouble accessing their UChicago Outlook accounts. The university's chief technology officer, Kamal Badur, described this as a synchronization problem. But whatever it was, it meant that many could not access their emails, and even that some people were not able to receive emails sent during that time. I actually had an email sent to me that contained an audio file that I was meant to edit for the podcast section. Only recently did I text my colleague again to ask him to send the email, but it's something he had sent, I just hadn't gotten it. It had been sent to the Shadow Realm, unfortunately. The problem has since been solved, but I hope there aren't any more important emails I missed. You wouldn't necessarily know.
Yeah. No, so I feel like I got one or two apology emails from, what's his name, Kamal Badur. I didn't realize how big of a deal it was. I was like, okay, it's like, thank you for apologizing, but I guess as you said, a lot of people had their messages sent to the ether and upset because of that. But so what happened was, like, as you said, like, people's emails, they didn't get them even after the outage ended, right? They're just like,
I think so. I think that's how it worked. That's how it seems to have worked in this anecdotal experience of mine. Mm. In the article that I based the report on, which was by Oliver Button for The Maroon, it's mentioned that if you sent an email to someone and it didn't go through, you would have received an error message.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully that's the case in all scenarios. But I'm not sure if it was in the case of my colleague here, so I can't tell you for sure.
Interesting. Hope it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Hope the university avoids these synchronization problems. Do you have one last story for us, Greg?
I do. So, event planning app Linker won a record $160,000 in College New Venture Challenge funding. On March 1st, the team behind social event planning app Linker won the 12th annual College New Venture Challenge, a competition where undergraduate-led startups can win funding from the university's Policy Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. The app allows students to plan and invite fellow students to parties and other campus events. Among Linker's features include the ability for organizations like fraternities and clubs to create and join groups on the app, a log where students can see the events they've hosted and attended, and a searchable page of events being planned by groups across campus. Participation in the CNVC requires enrollment in the Booth School of Business course Developing a New Venture during winter quarter. The competition itself includes a pitch to a panel of investors and entrepreneurs that takes place at the end of the quarter. 39 teams applied to participate in this round of CNVC, of which 13 teams were chosen to advance to the classroom round. These teams were further narrowed to 7 finalists that took part in the final round of pitching and presented their business plans to a team of judges, which, according to the Polsky Center's website, included Chicago area investors, entrepreneurs, alumni, and faculty. The Maroon spoke with founder and CEO Emily Wheeler and head of operations and growth Geneva Kirk Drayson about Linker's online pushback and next steps. For the full interview, see the article up on the Maroon's website by Austin Ziglis. So this is an interesting concept. Personally, I don't know how popular it will be among UChicago students or college students in general. I feel like, for me at least, Facebook is sufficient. I get a notification, there's a party, it's as simple as that. What do you think?
Yeah, I've never used Linker. I've never downloaded it. On campus, its primary function, anecdotally, seems to be frat parties. Mm. I don't know how much utility they really add for frat parties, but once again, I haven't been. Facebook events certainly cover like a pretty wide range of stuff.
Yeah.
There's another website, Partyful, that's sort of like a classed up version of Facebook events. I don't know if you've ever seen Partyful, Greg. Yeah, I don't know what the niche is for this. Clearly, with a $160,000 venture investment, they're looking to expand beyond UChicago. Best of luck to them in that journey. Mm-hmm. I think it was mentioned in the article that the founder is planning on taking a quarter off from UChicago to devote herself to this. That's good.
Good luck.
That's admirable.
Yeah.
I hope she finds success in her venture.
Nice.
I think that's all for us today. There'll be a short episode. Tiffany unfortunately had to leave in the middle for a prior engagement, but it was great to have her here. Once again, I'm Jake.
And I'm Greg.
And we'll see you next week.